welcome back inside the cave. And as always, on Tuesdays at 7:25, we have Tom Crawford with us from Fox 47 out of Lansing. And, of course, podcaster extraordinaire. And, Tom, kind of a good game on Saturday at the Big House. Michigan took care of business. Very few injuries reported. And so it's a move on to week number two.
Yeah, workmanlike, no head coach, free Harbaugh, all that post-game stuff, talking about the suspension and the players' allegiance to him and lining up in single formation and kind of the stuff that we expected. But I thought the funniest thing yesterday was when at the presser someone asked, you know, because you have all these Michigan, it's got these interim head coaches now. And now we got a new batch coming in this week, a shared. We had Jesse Minter last week, and so now we got Jay Harbaugh and Mike Hart and Jim Harbaugh was asked, what define a head coach? He said, well, it's not offense, it's not defense, it's weefense.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, where does he come up with this stuff? It's never a dull moment. Actually, the guy drives me nuts, but I love the guy. He's just amazing when it comes to his verbiage.
Another Harbaughism, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, crazy. Maybe.
But you know, Tom, they did play well on offense. J.J. McCarthy set a new Michigan record for any quarterback throwing at least 30 passes. The best, you know, 26 out of 30, the best in history at University of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, we remarked about it, sitting next to each other at the time, about how proficient he was. I mean, just how accurate he was spinning that ball. And you know, East Carolina did what a lot of teams do to Michigan. This goes back for decades. You're going to load them up in a box, eight in a box, whatever, daring Michigan to run. And they did stifle Michigan's running game quite a bit. I mean, we 122 yards rushing is not what you would expect. You expect much more. But when you do that, it's one of those pick your poison things. And J.J. throws for 280, and like you said, 87% efficiency. 26 of 30 is unbelievable. That's just dropping it in there, and that's why I'm so bullish on this guy. People get over, get irritated with me, but I truly think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy after prior to Michigan winning the national championship.
Well, an obvious scenario, Tom. I think this is the way things are going to play out. Certainly over the next two ball games, the club's coming in, have got nothing to lose, so they absolutely know they have to try and stop the run to even be in the game. And so you just take what they're going to give you, and they're giving Michigan the airwaves. It's just, can't blame anybody for going that route. I expect J.J. to have another big game, at least the next two games coming up on the schedule. It's just going to be that way.
Yeah, what I like about it is the balance. I mean, they had the same amount of runs, the same amount of passes. And that's what you want. That keeps the defense off kilter. Look at these, we've mocked this, the three of us, this non-conference schedule, East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. And it's, the East Carolina was going to be the toughest. So, I mean, what we've seen the toughest these next 2 weeks now. You know, UNLV, I mean, look out. They did, they did beat up a good Belmont team, if you know what I mean. I mean, Belmont, I mean, that's who they beat 42-14 for their opener. So, but, this is what it is. And, I mean, you saw Oregon hang 81 on their fleabag opponent. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, we have a few good matchups this weekend, including that big upset last night, Duke over Clemson, a very, poorly playing Clemson team. But I've said this a couple times this past weekend after watching Nebraska and Minnesota, not impressed with Nebraska. Once again, I'm overreacting. And then Minnesota on the other end, I watched those two teams play each other, and I don't think they're going to be a threat to Michigan. I truly don't think that Michigan is going to get tested until they play Michigan State on the 21st. Not that Michigan State is that good, 21st of October, not that Michigan State is that good, but that environment and what that game does to Michigan State is what concerns me. That's a long, long time from now to really get a gauge, in my opinion.
Well, you know, one thing that we talked about last week, one of my concerns with Michigan was the special teams, and we did have one missed extra point in the game by James Turner, and I think that was really the only blemish on the record books of Michigan over the weekend.
Yeah, it's like you start nitpicking everything. That's what we do. And you know, there was another aspect. I mean, I think you brought it up, Pat. You know, not a lot of from the edge rush. I mean, early on, where you start to just notice things. You almost notice things from a negative standpoint because the expectations are high. You know, they didn't get any sacks. That you know, the quarterback pressures weren't significant to say the least. But that, you know, that still was effective. And so, I mean, they'll clean that up. And they had some guys, you know, they had their two safeties out. Rod Moore, Will Johnson didn't even play. And who knows if they'll play or should they play against an undermanned UNLV team. You got to get them on the field to get in the flow of things. But, I'm talking about that schedule. You know, when they play Rutgers, though, you know, in game four, that's the first, you know, meaningful game at the Big House this year. That's homecoming on September 23rd. And that's, I think, everybody who is banged up or, you know, and has some nagging injuries is going to be back. And we'll get a better, clean look at what Michigan offers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure how much they're going to get out of these first three ball games. But, you know, you got to play them the way they're scheduled. And
well, I mean, you can, you know, it's like every time, you know, you can establish depth that way. It's not like they're horrible. Well, I mean, it's just such a cavernous gap in talent between what Michigan has and these teams have. And it's one of those things I just wish that they could be tested early on. And then they could identify those potential weaknesses against higher caliber competition in real time competition, and then clean that up, and then get ready for the Big Ten. Because when it's Big Ten time, I mean, every game is important. Every game. I mean, you can't have a slip up. And Michigan, quite honestly, can't have a slip up at all. And they got to throw a perfect game if they want to get in the CFP in terms of regular season. In my opinion, possibly they could lose to Ohio State and sneak in, or a Penn State. They could do it one as long as against Penn State or Ohio State. But that's still a little dicey considering you don't know what the rest of the field's going to bring.
I didn't get a chance to see anything on snap counts. Did you happen to get a chance to see what that was? Snap counts for each of the players.
I'm not sure what are you referring to?
I'm referring to, you know, how many plays each player was on the field for as far as working on depth.
Oh, okay. And so, the participation. I didn't get that sheet either. I didn't wait for that. But, I mean, they played a lot of guys. They'll probably play a little bit more, I think, at UNLV. I think this is a game that's going to get out of hand a little bit quicker than the other three. And so it's a 3:30 start Saturday in Ann Arbor. And so I think by 7:30, we're going to get introduced to some even more, you know, players we haven't seen. But still, a lot of these players from Michigan have played a lot of football. That's why everybody's raving about how good they're going to be this year, because they have their depth has so much experience in that depth, even going deep in the twos and in a couple cases into the threes.
One of the new rules this year is not stopping the clock at certain points of the ball game, especially on first downs. And I think we saw fewer plays than we normally would have seen if we would have had the stoppage. Any real problems on your end with that new rule?
I don't see a problem. I mean, I thought, you know, like last night, it was brought up in that Duke Clemson game. You know, Clemson is going to have a few, you know, you have a few less plays to have. You're still going to get into 60-70 for the winning team. I didn't see any rule changes that been significant to me. I mean, the game seemed long. I mean, we're sitting in the second half, and good Lord, we still have 9 minutes to go in this third quarter. I mean, the first 6 minutes of the third quarter, for some reason, seemed to drag. And because the outcome's already decided, and, you know, you really, once again, you can't, it's difficult to evaluate. I'm always down. I love to go to Michigan Stadium to evaluate Michigan's team and see where they're at and see where they're positioned to win a Big Ten title or national title potentially. And, you know, we're just going to have to wait on that.
Well, of course, we had the debut on Saturday of the new scoreboards, and wow, they were pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're big. You know, it's like we're really, you know, as we talked about it, you know, they're still cleaning up some problems with some of the technology that they're going to get ironed out by the Bowling Green game. So the Bowling Green game is at night. And so I think that's where the lights, you know, they got these lights that go around the perimeter they're going to showcase as well. I mean, that $41 million just didn't go into the two scoreboards, which seems crazy. But it did, you know, but that was the bulk of it. But the technology that surrounded that and then around the stadium, because Michigan Stadium and University of Michigan, they're trying to position themselves to do other events, i.e. outdoor concerts. And that's what you need. That's the full package is when you have, you know, all the audio and video extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll see that in the BG game. I'm looking forward to that. That should be interesting. Although we're inside, we don't really hear the audio that much when they have the windows closed. But you can see it, and it looks spectacular. And that maze out was nice. I mean, Michigan fans were thirsty just to go to the stadium on the corner of the stadium in Maine. You could tell. They were there. They showed up. It was hot down there. Thank God we were in the AC, right, Pat?
Absolutely. One other thing, Tom, before we go here, I want to ask you about that Michigan State Central Michigan game. Your son is one of the coaches on that team for Central Michigan. Any inside thoughts from your son?
Well, I mean, it's like it was all from a Central perspective. I mean, they missed opportunities. They didn't. They had first and goal and on the three and then scoring that first possession. And when you're trying, a MAC team trying to upset a Big Ten team, I mean, you have to, you can't turn the ball over, which they did, and you can't, and you got to cash in on every opportunity in the red zone. And then what happens, I talked about this before, is that the O-line and D-lines of the Power 5 school, i.e. Michigan State, wears down the Group of 5 team, Central Michigan, and that's what happened and pulled away. But, you know, I'm from a Michigan State perspective, because that's what we're concerned with, Michigan fans down the line. You know, I think they've shored up their defense a little bit on their defensive line. Looks good. You really don't know that, you know, this Noah Kim could be a really good quarterback for Michigan State, and they have a transfer running back. So I'm not saying he's, you know, going to be Tate is his name. I'm not saying he's going to be Kenneth Walker the third, but I think Michigan State's improved, but I still think Michigan is significantly better than Michigan State. I mean, you know, I'm so obsessed with that game, and so I still feel pretty good against it on the 21st of October in Spartan Stadium. Yet I talk about it, it's the environment that they're going to have to handle.
So, Tom, is there anything that you know of or that you might alert us about what Vegas might bring to the table on Saturday?
All I know is they're bringing a program that hasn't had a winning season in 11 years, John.
Oh.
So what does that mean?
So they're not bringing much.
I tried to get a gauge on, you know, when they're playing Belmont in the opener, it was an FCS team, recent FCS team. You really don't know what they bring, but so I'm clueless. I'll learn a little bit more this week, but more focused on Michigan and seeing some of these guys. Michigan's just got to stay healthy. They got to stay healthy. They got to clean up the mistakes. I still think their offensive line play blocking, even when you load up eight in a box, you still should get bigger gaps in the line than that. That's something they can work on. Yeah, load them up and see if they can run the football. I think that's going to be the key.
Well, I'm just saying, as far as the scoreboards are concerned, is the mantra go big and go home?
It is. I mean, Michigan's on a roll from a elite program. You know, when you go with two CFPs, even though they lost to them, they got to win one of these bowl games. They're referenced as the top, you know, five program right now, currently. I know that's a moving process, but that's just part of the splash. I mean, you have to make that fan experience the ultimate, because they're paying a lot of money and there's a lot of them, 109,000 plus. So. I think that's what Michigan's going to do, is just try to stay above the curve. And the fact you have to get a new scoreboard every 10 years is crazy just because of the technology.
Absolutely. Tom, as far as the top 25 is concerned, looking at Ohio State, kind of a lackluster win down at Indiana.
Yeah, and this just didn't surprise me at all. Kyle McCord, the new quarterback, a little sluggish. I mean, they still got so much talent, and you know, now they'll play the Youngstown State this week, and maybe they'll get their offense together. But when Ohio State goes to Notre Dame, ask me about Ohio State then, because that's going to be a heck of a game. And then Notre Dame goes, you know, get this, Notre Dame goes to, on September 30th, they go to Duke.
Tell me about that game.
I mean, there's some fun games that are going to transfer, including Alabama hosting Texas on Saturday night. I'm just super excited, of these meaningful games, and I'm all about the meaningful games. And I just wish there were more meaningful games early on.
Absolutely. We are out of time, Tom, but, of course, people can get your podcast anytime they want. And, of course, you're on 3 with John Borton. You going to record that this afternoon?
Yeah, it's 5:30 to 6:15, all about Michigan. We'll talk about that game and moving forward, similar stuff that we talked about. Also, Tom's Take Community on my YouTube page. You go out and subscribe to that. Appreciate that. It's no cost, a lot of content about Michigan, and then just kind of leadership type stuff and fun stuff I have on that page. And so anyway, appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to next Tuesday morning.
All right, Tom. Tom Crawford with us this morning on Inside the Cave. And we'll be back with more after these messages.